The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 14th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. Thursdays are busy, and today is extra busy. Yes, we have all of our three normal guests on the show today. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up at about 2:30. We'll also have Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, will join us on the phone lines for another week of high school football playoff talk as Auburn High School gets ready to take on and host Thompson tomorrow night at historic Duck Sanford Stadium. He'll join us at 3 o'clock, and then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us coming up at 3:30. So excited to have all three of those guests on today. With Brad, we're going to talk Auburn basketball, of course. Got a big win again last night. We'll talk about that a little bit ourselves as well. And then with Chris Gordy, we'll talk about everything going on around the Southeastern Conference, especially in college football. There are another big weekend of games coming up this Saturday, the college football playoff rankings, and really the college football playoff scenario, right? I mean, it's so fascinating to break it all down and try to predict what's going to happen. So we'll talk with Chris coming up a little bit later in the show today. But I do want to start the show with a very special interview that I conducted just a little bit ago this afternoon. Auburn University women's soccer is hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament at the Auburn Soccer Complex coming up tomorrow, 6 o'clock there at the Auburn Soccer Complex. And I was able to get the head coach, Karen Hoppe, who she has been there for a long, long time. I mean, one of the most seasoned coaches in college athletics. Believe she's the most seasoned coach at Auburn right now. Been there for two decades now. She has her program 12-3-4 overall. They are hosting FIU coming up tomorrow night. And I sat down with Auburn women's soccer coach Karen Hoppe earlier today. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, and very excited to have a person on the show and on this station who is a legend in Auburn, who's been here for a long, long time, has had so many successful teams during her coaching career. It's the head coach of Auburn University Soccer, Coach Karen Hoppe, joining us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, great to have you on the station. We appreciate your time, and man, what a great year you guys had this year.
Well, thank you so much. That was quite an introduction. I really appreciate it, and it's been my pleasure. And, yeah, we've had a great season. We got a great group of players, and we're really, really excited to be able to start the postseason at home for the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Well, you mentioned that you guys are going to be at home. That is coming up on Friday night as you will be hosting an NCAA tournament game, which it's funny because when I was in college, when I actually got my radio start, I was on the broadcast on Weagle 91.1 for an NCAA tournament match for Auburn soccer. So a really, really neat story for me just because it's kind of how I got my start. And I know hosting NCAA tournament games for you and your program is a really, really big deal.
Wow, that's very cool. Very cool. We've been fortunate enough to host quite a few times, and to be able to play at home. Our last regular season home game we tied, and we were disappointed with that. So really excited to get another opportunity to play in front of our Auburn fans and give our seniors another game at home.
Well, your overall record this year, it is a little bit of a weird record. You mentioned some of those ties, 12 wins, 3 losses, and 4 ties. I'm curious from the coaching perspective, how do you treat a tie in the locker room after the game? I mean, it's not a loss, but it's not a win. So how do you treat that as a head coach?
you know, it kind of really depends on the game, to be honest. You know, if it's a team that, you know, is ranked ahead of us, and there's good ties and there's bad ties, you know. And to be fair, I don't like any ties. NCAA did away with overtime a couple of years ago, and I was disappointed in that. I really enjoyed the overtime. But this year, I would say this, of all four of those ties, we were disappointed. They all felt like losses. You know, we felt, you know, there were games that we you know, let get away, if you will. So they felt like losses, and we tried to use them as motivation from that standpoint.
Well, you come into this season, and the non-conference slate was perfect, and literally was perfect, where you start off with a huge win over number 5 Clemson, and your team just rolled. And not only did they roll, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Coach, did not allow a goal in non-conference play?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had 8 straight shutouts. It was a really great run by our group.
And, I mean, yeah, and scoring 4, 6, 3, 6, 5. I mean, just so much dominance on the field offensively and defensively. Wins over number 5 Clemson at the time, number 17 Ohio State at the time. That was at home at the Auburn Soccer Complex. And so what did the non-conference slate do for your team in preparation for the SEC, which we know is a super tough league?
Yeah, we, you know, for the non-conference, it really got our offense clicking. You know, obviously the defense was certainly a highlight with all the shutouts, but it got our offense clicking and a lot of confidence. And we'd struggled in the last couple of years offensively, and I think we've already scored almost double the amount of goals we scored last year. And that was really the key, was getting our offense clicking. And as you mentioned, most of the games were multi-goal wins, and that gave our offense a lot of confidence going into conference play.
And then, yes, conference play hits, and just the two losses in regular season of conference play, Texas A&M in the midseason, and then the season finale at number 22 South Carolina. Those ties were mixed in there as well. How would you summarize the SEC slate for you and your squad?
You know, the SEC slate was a little bit bumpy, and you know, obviously it's a great league. We got 10 teams into the NCAA tournament. Just shows how strong the conference is. So every game was a battle, and, you know, it was a little bit of ups and downs, I think, for us. But the good thing is, you know, going into the NCAA tournament, having played a conference schedule the way we did, we are battle-tested, and we've been through it, and I think our team will be better for it coming into this new season.
Auburn University soccer coach Karen Hoppe joining us on ESPN 106.7, the Auburn Opelika sports leader. Coach, I want to give you a chance to talk about your team a little bit and shine some light on some players that have gotten you this far and helped you host an NCAA tournament match. I mean, Olivia Woodson, your leading goal scorer. I know the defense has been locked down. I mean, talk about some of those players and what they've done for your team this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great group of players, and it starts with our huge senior class. It's our last year of having COVID years. So I've got 8 players with COVID years, and then I've got 5 traditional 4-year seniors.
Wow.
So we've got 13 seniors. Yeah. And that's really the core of the group. And I think a big part of why we're doing so well is all of that experience and the great leadership. You know, a couple key players, you mentioned Olivia Woodson. She's having a breakout sophomore year. 10 goals is a massive season, and really excited about the step that she took from freshman year to sophomore year. And then, you know, Anna Haddock obviously has been the general, if you will, of our team for the last 5 years now. She was first team all conference. She actually broke our career assist record this year, which was really high number. So she's having a terrific season. And then on the defensive side, you got 2 players that really stand out. LJ Knox, all SEC defender, senior leader of that back line, has been phenomenal. And then Maddie Prochaska in goal. What a great player she is. And she broke the career shutout record at Auburn. So those players have really been the leaders for us in this season. And we look for them to do that again on Friday.
Yeah, for Maddie Prochaska, 12 goals allowed in just the entire season, which is unbelievable to think about. Now, all those shutouts in the non-conference play help, but she deserves all the credit for doing that. It just a really, really nice effort to see you. And it got to be trustworthy for you, and I guess just a confidence boost for you as a head coach, knowing that you've got a brick wall standing in net.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, goalkeeper's experience is everything. And Maddie's a fifth-year starter for us and really gives our team a ton of confidence. She's a leader back there for us. She's great with her feet, and she's got the ability to make the big save to keep us in games. And we're certainly going to need her to continue to do that through the NCAAs.
Auburn is hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament. FIU comes to the Auburn Soccer Complex on Friday night, 6 o'clock. Coach, what can you tell the fans at home, either the ones that will be in attendance, those that will be listening, however they're going to take it in, what can you tell them about what FIU brings to the Plains?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is a really good team. Their coaching staff has done a phenomenal job turning around this program. They've got 13 wins. They play a great style of soccer. They'll build out of the back, really organized. They won their regular season and the conference tournament for Conference USA. And they've got a center forward up top who was the player of the year for Conference USA who's got 15 goals. I mean, that is just a massive number. So they're a great soccer team. They play a great style. And, you know, I expect it to be a fantastic game for everybody that is able to either come out or watch it on TV on Friday night.
What's it been like for you in just coaching games at the Auburn Soccer Complex? Again, I've been there several times. I've called games there. I've attended as a student, as a fan. I mean, when that place is packed and it's rocking, you got the students and they've got all their noisemakers. They always bring different ones every time, it seems. I mean, what's it like coaching games over there?
Man, it is incredible. And this year we've had some record crowds, and it has been incredible. We, you know, have a great atmosphere. It really motivates the players, and, you know, they help us win. Like you said, there's noisemakers, there's people beating on buckets, there's, you know, guys, fraternity guys with their chest painted, and, you know, it is awesome. The environment is incredible, and I expect it to be that way on Friday night because, hey, we get to play a home game Friday before a home football game. That means everybody is in town, and we hope to see everybody there Friday at 6 o'clock.
A perfect opportunity for fans to go and attend Auburn Soccer. Help us out on this, Coach. Is NCAA tournament, is this free to attend, or is there tickets they need to buy? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. So it's an NCAA event, not an Auburn event, so we have to ticket it. General admission is $10. Auburn University students will get in free with their ID card. You can buy tickets in advance through the Auburn ticket office, or they'll be selling them on site at the gate.
Okay, yeah, I figured that was the case since it is an NCAA event, but it's hosted at Auburn, but it is ran by the NCAA. And before we let you go, just want to get some breakdown on the bracket that you and your squad are in. Hosting FIU at home, you've got teams like Ohio State in that bracket, a team you've already played, an SEC foe at Georgia, Wake Forest. I mean, some really good squads, and you're part of the bracket, Coach.
Oh, man, it's a really tough bracket. I mean, Wake Forest is the number two seed on our side of the bracket, and, you know, they could have easily been a one seed as good of a season that they had. So, like you mentioned, Ohio State's having a phenomenal year. You know, Wisconsin, Kansas, Georgia, Southern Cal is the number one seed in our bracket. So it is a tough, tough road. You know, for us, the only game we're worried about right now, though, is Friday night against FIU.
And the games moving forward, I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but all the way to the College Cup, those are hosted on campus. Is that right? Second and third round, Elite Eight, those are all played on the road somewhere?
Yep, exactly. The second and third round are next weekend, Friday, Sunday. They would be at the highest seed in that group. So if Wake Forest, number two seed, and Southern Cal, number one seed, both win, they would host second and third round. We are on the Wake Forest side. So that would be, if we were to advance, that's where we would go.
Got you. Okay. Well, again, I know you are fully locked in and focused on FIU on Friday night. Auburn women's soccer hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament, hosting FIU 6 o'clock at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Entry fee is $10. Get your tickets before you go. You don't have to worry about it. And be there, be loud, and be proud. Coach Karen Hoppe of Auburn Women's Soccer joining us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we really do appreciate your time. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck on Friday to you and your squad.
Thank you so much. Hope to see everybody there Friday, and War Eagle.
War Eagle, thanks so much. That is Auburn Women's Soccer Head Coach Karen Hoppe joining us on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Again, thanks so much to Auburn women's soccer coach Karen Hoppe joining us here on ESPN just a few moments ago. Was an honor to sit down and talk with her and talk about her program and her team that's 12-3-4 this year. And my favorite part about that, I was able to ask her about ties. And I'll be honest, that's probably the first time that I've been able to ask a soccer coach how they feel about a straight-up tie. And she said it, she fits this show narrative, doesn't she? She told it like it is, man. She didn't care. She said, I'll be honest with you, I don't like ties. She said they got rid of overtime, and now you just have a tie in the league. And she said some ties are better than others. Some are good, some are bad. But she said all the ones we had this year, they were bad. We didn't like them. We were not happy about that. And so if you're around tomorrow night and you're not able to be at the Duck or anything else like that, I mean, if you're looking for something to do to support Auburn tomorrow, go check out the Auburn soccer team hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament. They're going to have it at the Auburn Soccer Complex. 6 o'clock is the start. $10 to get in. Not too bad. You can don't worry. You can watch the soccer game and listen to Auburn High football at the same time. I'll believe you. I trust you. You can do it, right? So go check them out. Again, really appreciate Coach Hoppe and her time hopping on with us here today. Well, a couple of things we want to and need to get to before we talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Phone lines are open if you want to hop in here and be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. I'll be honest, this is probably your best time to do it because we've got Brad Law, we've got Coach Etheridge, we've got Chris Gordy. I mean, Thursdays are busy around here. It's tough to get people on the phone a lot of times. And so just got somebody calling in. We're going to get to that in just a second. Again, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Auburn football recruiting news to get to, Auburn basketball to get to as they win 79-56 last night. And appears we have a phone call, so let's get to that now, 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, I didn't get to listen to all of that conversations you had with the soccer coach. But my question is, you know, soccer, I mean, you could have a 0-0 tie for the entire game. But why don't they try, what do they call that, a penalty kick or something like that?
Yeah, like a PK system. Yeah, I don't think they have that in college. They did, like Coach Hoppe mentioned, they have an overtime, or they used to. They used to have an overtime period, and my guess is, and I never read the official statement from the NCAA when they canned that, but my guess is a whole player safety longevity thing, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, without people running up and down the field and everything, you could have guys, a certain player try to get a penalty kick through, and the first one that doesn't make the penalty kick through, you know, they lose the game.
Yeah, I mean, like overseas and stuff like FIFA and stuff like that, I mean, they play, what is it, like a 5-round penalty kick situation, or even in hockey. They do the same thing in hockey in the regular season where, you've got a shootout penalty kill penalty kick situation. I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah, four ties. That's awful.
I agree. I agree.
That's like not playing at all.
I hate ties. I always say that's a European thing. I don't like to tie in the United States.
Yeah, me too. All right. Later, guys.
Thanks so much, Spectre. Appreciate it. 334-321-1390. And yeah, great question. I mean, again, Auburn soccer had a 0-0 tie this year, had a 1-1 tie this year, had a 2-2 tie this year, and had another 2-2 tie this year. And they had two losses, South Carolina in the regular season. They also fell to Texas A&M in the regular season and then to LSU in the first round of the SEC tournament. I mean, look, ties in any sport is dumb. I'm sorry, it is. I've never understood it. I've never agreed on it. It doesn't make any sense. I've never been able to wrap my head around the fact that you could get two teams together, two teams who have practiced, game plan, traveled, prepared to show up at a venue, prepare, warm up, right, get motivated, and put everything they've got on the line, everything they've got in a 60, 90, 120-minute contest, whatever it is. And at the end of this thing, you say, oh, wow, you guys did the exact same thing and you have a tied score. Well, let's call it a day and go home. Good effort. Good job. Great game. You do all of that for no result. What's the point? What's the point? Doesn't make any sense to me. You play the game to win or to lose. And I've said this my entire life. I would rather lose than tie. Because at least if I lost, I know that I lost. I know that I got beat. There's at least something that I can wrap my brain around, that I know that there was a result at the end of this thing. And you could hear Coach Hapa. She was talking how they were frustrated. They were upset. They were not satisfied with those four ties because they felt they should have won all those games. And in extra time, yeah, there's a chance they win one or two of those or more. So, no, great question, Spectre. And I honestly don't know the answer to that. And my guess on the whole extra time thing is that the NCAA, you know, because they're all about protecting the players. That's their whole thing, apparently. They probably just didn't want them playing as much. But, yeah, you could do a PK situation or a shootout or something like that. I don't know. But my guess is that does not exist in playoffs, right, in the postseason. They will probably play until there's a winner. I don't think they'll allow a tie in postseason soccer. So, again, that's coming up tomorrow night at the Auburn Soccer Complex, 6 p.m. Central time there on campus. Auburn basketball, that is, gets a huge win last night, 79-56. Thing got a little dicey last night in Neville Arena, didn't it? Got a little closer than maybe Auburn was hoping that it would be. Auburn jumped out to a huge lead. What was it, 30-8 at one point? I mean, this thing was over. Auburn did exactly what they were supposed to do in the first couple of minutes of the ball game, and then here comes Kent State. Here come the Golden Flashes. They got hot in a flash. Sorry. They did. They absolutely did. Davis got hot, and Sullinger got hot. Sullinger, 3 of 5 from downtown. Davis was just 2 of 6 from downtown, but they hit free throws. They hit their layups. They hit tough jumpers. I mean, they did it all. And Auburn found themselves only up 4 at one particular time in the second half. And so they had to buckle down and go win the game. But the good news is they did it. And this is another one of those games where if you just are scrolling through your sports scores app, whichever one you want to use, right, and you're just scrolling through, oh, number 5, Auburn, they got a nice win, 79-56. They win by 23. Not bad. Good for them. Move on. But for those of us that watched it or covered it or caught back up with it, I was on the air during most of this game last night calling Auburn High basketball, but was able to catch probably 8 to 10 minutes in the last second half with Andy Burcham and the Auburn Sports Network, but went back, of course, and watched all the highlights. And, you know, this game was a great example of what this team can be coming off of an emotional, high-energy, historical win against Houston, right? Because Auburn started out the perfect way, the exact way you would want them to coming off a win against Houston. But then Kent State punched them in the mouth. Kent State showed how good and the potential that they have. And one of those mid-majors that has enough talent to hang around with some of these big boys in college basketball. But it was beautiful to see Auburn go out, handle business, pull away, and put a team like that away when they had to. And it was because of your two constants, your two consistents, your two go-to guys. Jani Broome with 18 and Chaney Johnson with 18. Both guys did exactly what they were supposed to do. Jani Broome, 8 of 12 from the floor. Chaney Johnson, 8 of 11 from the floor. They both put in 18 points. Jani had a double-double with 12 boards. Chaney Johnson had 5 boards. Both had 4 assists, combined for 5 blocks together. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable if Jahni Broome and Chaney Johnson can do that. And remember, Chaney Johnson came off the bench. We'll talk more Auburn basketball with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, plus Auburn football back at home this weekend, and everything else you need to know around the athletics department. Brad Law joins us coming up next.
On the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we get to the phone lines as we welcome in a guy who's with us every Thursday at 2:30. He's with the Auburn Sports Network. You hear him all the time with the network, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, you name it, he does it. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. How are you on this Thursday, Brad?
Just blessed and wonderful and feeling good. It's always good to talk to you, Jacob. How are you?
I'm good. Staying busy. Crossover season's got both of us running every which way, huh?
I love it. Yeah. And I'll tell you, hopefully we never, hopefully we never stop being grateful for the special things and the things we get to do as opposed to the things we have to do. Even when they kind of start feeling so normal that we don't remember how special they are. It's a blessing to get to do what we do, for sure.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And with crossover season comes just so many different topics that need to be covered and deserve coverage on a time like this. And so let's jump into it. We'll start with basketball that happened last night inside of Neville Arena, and really need to flash back to the weekend because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since Auburn did what they did on the road against Houston, and then they did bounce back, or I guess respond well to a win with yet another win against Kent State last night.
They did. That Houston game was the thing that, you know, we kind of look back on, and we might look at the end of the year as a pivotal game. You know, we talk about all these tests on the schedule, and that was the first one, and they passed, and they closed the game very well. You know, if you go back and watch that game, Houston missed a lot of shots short in the last 10 minutes. And that's a credit to Auburn defensively, kind of wearing them down. And they had enough. They had enough talent. They had enough depth. Had enough stamina and endurance to take that win away from Houston. And then, you know, against Kent State, the game gets out 10-0, and then 22-3. And it kind of felt like if you ever run a race, you know, if you run a 10K or something, and you start really fast, and then you kind of pace yourself in the middle, and then you finish fast. That's what it felt like last night. You sprint out of the gate. Every kind of things kind of settle into a jogging pace. Kent State kept playing, to their credit, but then Auburn turned it on again over the last 10, 12 minutes and kind of ran away there at the end. So a 3-0 start, and just so very much to like about this team as we frankly thought there would be.
Yeah, and what has stood out to me, and I've mentioned it several times here on the show, but you've already seen early in this season, just three games in, you've got two guys that Auburn, I think, is going to rely on and be able to rely on, Brad, night in and night out. That's Jahni Broome and Chaney Johnson, who both went for 18 points last night. Broome had a double-double on rebounds. They both had blocks. They both had assists. I mean, those two may just be the most consistent guys Auburn has all season long.
Last night they combined to go 16 for 23, and that's just insane from the floor. And that takes, I mean, that's, they combined to miss three threes. Chaney was 2 for 3. Jahni was 0 for 2. Jahni, if you take away his three pointers, is 8 for 10 from the floor. Jahni Broome is a generational basketball player that we get to watch at Auburn game in and game out, and I really hope we're taking the opportunity to appreciate the level of talent. And the, I mean, man, he plays with passion. He plays with a professional approach to the game, and he approaches the stuff off the floor the same way. He really embraces every facet of being a basketball player at this level. If you say you get a chance to be the player of the year in college basketball, and it's more than just what happens on the floor, he embraces all of it. Love watching him play. And then Chaney, Jacob, I don't know. I'm not trying to use hyperbole, but I really legitimately can't think of one shot that he's missed in a post-up opportunity. When they've run him down to the low post, he posts up his opponent, one-on-one matchup. I don't know that he's missed a shot in that scenario. Just a leading rebounder on the team the first two games, three straight games in double figures scoring. Chaney Johnson's a real deal, and he will be an incredible matchup problem for opponents the rest of the way.
I know you're not a huge comparison guy in terms of player to player, but when Auburn lost Jalen Williams after his long 18-year career here, we were wondering who was going to step up and be that type of guy, because Jalen started slow and got better as his career went on and evolved into one of, if not the best player that Auburn had during his latter years. And I think Chaney Johnson has molded into that type of player, Brad. I mean, he can score, he can rebound, he can shoot, he can defend. I mean, he can just do it all the same way that we watched Jalen Williams do during his time here.
No question, you know, and Jalen took a lot from guys like Frank Tolbert, who he played with for a couple of years. It was great in that 18-year career. I think I'm going to go a step further than that. I think if Chaney develops to his full potential, I think you're going to compare him to Chuma Okeke.
Okay.
Scoring, rebounding, one-on-one, aggressiveness, his ability to pass the ball, his defensive ability. I mean, this guy is really locked in and focused. And look, three games. I'm not talking about making those comparisons right now, but if what we've seen in the sample size continues throughout the rest of this year, and this team makes a run, I think you're making that kind of comparison. I mean, he can shoot over the top of smaller guys. He can drive and get around bigger guys. He can defend. He can pass. He can shoot from outside if they give him that shot. I mean, he's developing a pretty complete all-around game.
What are your thoughts on the starting five from last night? We know Bruce Pearl's going to change it up and move things around and test out different lineups, especially early here in non-conference play. But it was Denver Jones, Miles Kelly, CBM, Dillon, and Janai, with guys like JP, Pettiford, and Chaney coming off the bench.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought Miles, he had such a good shooting game last time at Neville that it makes sense to give him that opportunity right from the get-go. I thought you used your height to the advantage. Kent State is one of the smaller teams that Auburn will play this year. Their starting lineup was, I think, 6'2", 6'2", and 5'11", in the backcourt. And so you get a little more height. If they had tried to play zone early in the game, then having Miles in there and Denver at the same time maybe give you a chance with your better or best three-point shooters, volume three-point shooters. Thought it was interesting, and I think game three of the year is a great time. If you're going to tinker with the lineup a little bit, game three is not a bad time to do it.
You look ahead for Auburn. They've got North Alabama coming in on Monday night before they head down to Hawaii, where they'll be in the Maui Invitational. Brad, let us know, are they sending you down there? Is Andy going? What's the status on who's getting to make that trip?
Well, it's Andy all the way. Yeah, they're sending Andy, and I will be back in the studio. And
okay,
we got some late basketball games. We have an 8 o'clock game on Monday, and I think if you win that, it's maybe 10:30 the next night. So, let's hope for some late basketball in a couple of weeks in Maui. That Maui trip was so special for those guys in the 18-19 team.
Yeah,
and we know what they went on to do, but they played Xavier, they barely lost to Duke, and they beat Arizona. And you know, when you come out of that with the confidence of beating those types of teams, then, you know, even if you run into tough stretches in the regular season, you know you've got the confidence that you've banked from early in the year that you can hang and you can beat these good teams. Auburn has already banked one of those types of wins, and it has the opportunity for multiple types of those wins in Maui.
Yeah, Iowa State, UConn, Michigan State, Dayton, North Carolina. I mean, you're talking big-time tournament programs who Auburn could run into. The only known team that Auburn is playing for now is a top-five Iowa State team. So Auburn gets to start off with that. Of course, teams like Duke and Purdue and Ohio State are on that schedule later on this season as well. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Let's flip over to football, Brad, as the Tigers back home home. They're taking on ULM this weekend inside of Jordan-Hare. Early kickoff, 11:45-ish. That may be a floating time. I'm not sure what TV is going to be doing. But they're back home, military appreciation, and a chance for the Tigers to get back on track.
Yeah, a chance to get back on track offensively. I think defensively the team is pretty well on track. It's a good track. And according to the stats, they are second in the SEC in total defense in conference-only games.
I'd believe it.
And, you know, and they've got like a 20 yards per game lead on the team that's third. It's Texas 1, Auburn 2 in league games only in yards per game allowed. So the defense is doing a terrific job. They have made strides, and they've progressed, and they play with a swagger and a confidence. And they've been put in some rough spots, be it with turnovers or sudden change, emotional changes after missed field goals. I didn't realize this. Auburn's just 4 of 11 on field goals in SEC games. That's a tough spot for your defense when you come out and you get no points, and you know now you kind of trot back on the field and got to go to work. So I think what this defense has done this year has been remarkable, and the offense is going to try to get, you know, hopefully the bye week, the open date, allowed you to work on some of the communication, trying to get, you know, three guys handling the offense is a lot. Your communication better be straight away, better be squared away anyway. We will see. I think Auburn obviously has the personnel. They have the talent to take care of business Saturday. And if you could do that and build some confidence before a night game next weekend against Texas A&M, Jordan-Hare at night is special. You need that. You need to build some confidence and get some chemistry going offensively against ULM.
And Auburn's going to have a chance to play spoiler, right? I mean, they've got Texas A&M and Alabama, two teams that have found themselves currently in the college football playoff bracket and discussion. And so they can't slip up against Auburn. A win versus Auburn doesn't gain them anything, but a loss against Auburn would hurt them, just dramatically. And so, I mean, surely Auburn would use that as a little motivation, huh?
No, I think they have more motivation than that. I frankly don't give a rip what happens to Texas A&M and Alabama in their season beyond the game against Auburn. If Auburn wins all three of its games left, it's going to a bowl game. And we talked about margin for error back when we're, you know, looking at entering the month of October with losses to Cal and Arkansas and Oklahoma, and how your margin for error was slim in order to go to a bowl game. That door's not closed yet. And until that door's closed, it's still open, which sounds like a Yogi Berra saying. But until the door's closed, it's open. That's the truth. And if you win three in a row to close out the regular season, you're going to a bowl game with worlds of momentum, which is why this is, you know, Saturday is a critical game. That's why it's a compelling game, as you can't win three unless you win that first one. And then you take your chances with a night game against Texas A&M, and then you take your chances in an Iron Bowl where all the pressure will be on Alabama, especially if Auburn comes in with momentum and confidence.
Auburn gets that three-game stretch started this weekend at home against ULM. Kickoff set for 11:45, Brad. Tell the people what they need to know in terms of your broadcast and you guys on the Auburn Sports Network.
Yep, kickoff is officially 11:47.
Ah.
So 11:47 is two extra minutes, very critical for TV purposes, as you know.
Yes.
We will be on the air at 8:30. Saturday morning, and some of our guests on the Tiger Tailgate Show will include Gabe Gross, DeMarco McNeil, and Randy Campbell. So I have a couple of quarterbacks and a defensive tackle joining us on the show, plus our full crew. We'll get you ready for the game. So check that out at 8:30 Saturday morning over on Wings 94.3.
Awesome. Yep. Looking forward to that. Then the next basketball broadcast is on Monday. That's an 8 o'clock tip against UNA. And then a couple of other just housekeeping notes. We got women's basketball coming up tonight right here on ESPN 106.7. That's a 7 o'clock start. And then we actually had Coach Karen Hoppe on the show just a little bit ago, Brad, talking about Auburn soccer as they host the first round of the NCAA tournament tomorrow.
Yeah, love that. Soccer is, it's a fresh start. They didn't close the season with the same kind of fire they opened it with, but they have an opportunity to host a match in the NCAA tournament. That's special. And, you know, one match, all it takes to get a little momentum back, and then maybe match up with the three seed, barring an upset. Women's basketball tonight on fire to start the season. I do want to say one other thing about Monday. We will have Tiger Talk at 6 on Monday.
Okay.
So Tiger Talk at 6, then basketball at 7:30. I guess we'll play a few classic hits between 7 and 7:30 to bridge the gap over on Wings 94.3. But we will have both on Monday on the network. The timing worked out perfectly. So, and actually, the following, that first game in Maui against Iowa State is also an 8 o'clock tip. So we'll do the same thing the next two Monday nights. We'll have Tiger Talk and basketball. Neither will be preempted. Neither has to move. So both carry on as scheduled.
Will those Tiger Talks be at Baumhauer's, or are those going to be in the studio?
They will be at Baumhauer's.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to handle those solo. Andy's going to be handling basketball. And so, yep, those will be at Baumhauer's.
There you go. You can catch all of that Tiger Talk, football, men's basketball over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, and women's basketball tonight right here on ESPN 106.7. Brad, we appreciate your time as always. I know there's a lot to do. So as much as you don't want to, I'll let you get back to work. I won't take any more of your time today.
Hey, I'm working right now, my man. It's all work at this point. No, thanks. Always great catching up with you, and we'll talk to you again soon. War Eagle.
Thanks so much, Brad. War Eagle, that is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Thursday, 2:30, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Quick segment. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. We'll get into hour two, where Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us, and then Chris Gordy later on in the program as well. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Been a busy hour number one, and don't you worry, hour number two is going to be just as busy. We've had head coach Karen Hoppe of Auburn Women's Soccer joined us to start the show. We also just got off the phone with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. And look, crossover season gets us all in this time of year for those of us in this business. But Brad said it best. I mean, man, just so blessed and so honored and just having so much fun. Yes, it's stressful. Yeah, it's busy. And you're just not a whole lot of sleep going on, but man, what a fun time. And last night I was on the road at Lafayette High School, just about 30-35 minutes down the road, and I guess up the road, however you want to say that. And Auburn High School was in action basketball, that is. The girls and the boys both got big wins last night. So varsity girls moved to 3-0. Boys are 2-1. They dropped the season opener to Carver, but they have since bounced back nicely against Percy Julian and against Lafayette last night. And that's a Bulldogs program, girls and boys, that's going to be coming right back to Auburn High School next Wednesday night, I believe. And so really excited and just really enjoying getting to cover Auburn High School athletics and getting to cover those two basketball teams early this season. And then tomorrow, gosh, I don't know where it ranks for me, but one of the biggest broadcasts that I've ever had so far. Auburn High School football is going to be hosting Thompson in the second round of the state playoffs for high school 7A football. And look, I've continued to say it. I will continue to say it. I believe that this is the biggest game that's ever taken place inside of Duck Sanford Stadium. I just think it is. I think it's that big of a deal. The fact that Auburn and Thompson, for those of you that have followed high school football for quite some time or you still follow it religiously, I mean, you don't have to describe what this matchup is, what these two logos represent. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than this. Right? And this is talking where there's a matchup between Opelika and Hoover that has gotten significantly more dramatic, and Vestavia and Central. And heck, you've even got Baker and Enterprise. I mean, really, really big high school 7A programs are going at it tomorrow night, but none bigger than Auburn and Thompson at the Duck. If you didn't get tickets, they're probably sold out by now, but you can check it out, gofan.co. That's gofan.co. If you want to check that out, Again, I have not looked in a couple of days. My guess is they are sold out. Talking with Auburn High Athletic Director Dan Norton, I mean, expecting a sellout and then some. And so if you cannot make it to the Duck, that's okay. You can listen to the game broadcast. We will be live tomorrow night, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I know a ton of you use our app already to listen to shows like this or our music stations or whatever the case may be, but you can use those for all of our high school sports coverages as well. And Auburn High School football on the air tomorrow night, Wings 94.3. Pregame starts at 6:30. Kickoff is at 7. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hudden, the full crew is going to be there. We're really, really excited for this. And Auburn and Thompson, man, in the second round, this is the quarterfinals of the 7A playoffs. Winner moves on to the semifinals, which would be played next week. And then 7A, since there are fewer teams, that means there are fewer rounds. So 7A does not play the day after Thanksgiving, that Friday. All the other regions do. I guess all the other classifications do, but 7A does not. So only a few games left, and we're hoping that Auburn High can hang on and play for another week. And who better to talk about all of this than the head man himself, head coach Keith Etheridge. He's going to join us to start hour number two right on the phone lines right here on ESPN. Plus, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he joins us coming up in the hour as well. That's all here on ESPN. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you'll be able to catch up with the podcast. You'll find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. It was a busy hour number one, and Thursdays always are. But we had an extra guest on the show today. We started out with Auburn University women's soccer coach Karen Hoppe, as Auburn women's soccer is hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament tomorrow night at the Auburn Soccer Complex, hosting FIU. So we had coach on the show. She talked to us about the season as a whole, about the tournament, her disliking of ties, which I thought was incredible. So that was a really good interview. Also talked a little Auburn basketball. Then we had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was on, talking basketball, football, all the broadcast information that you need from them. So that was all in hour number one. Coming up here in hour number two, we're going to talk with Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. That's coming up in about 30 minutes or so. But before we get to him, we're going to get to the phone lines because we've got the man, the head coach of Auburn High School football. He is Coach Keith Etheridge. Coach, thanks so much for your time, my man. It's great to talk to you on this Thursday.
Man, great to talk to you, Jacob. How's everything going with you?
It's going good, man. It's going good. Hey, did you make it back okay today?
Oh, yeah. Just pull back in.
There you go. There you go. Well, hey, man, we really do appreciate your time. And, look, I'm just glad that we're still talking because it's really not a given. Absolutely. It's not a gimme at this point now, Coach, nope. with the playoffs are here. And you know how that goes. It's win or go home. And you guys handled business a week ago against Bob Jones.
Yeah, we played well last Friday night, you know, offensively and defensively. So really proud of the guys. And now, you know, this week, you know, after Friday night, we enjoyed it Friday night, and then Saturday sort of turned our heads toward the Thompson Warriors, who's got an unbelievable team.
Well, offensively, you guys did exactly what you've done all season long, which is score a handful of touchdowns in the first quarter and in the first half. And between Omar Mapson, who, what was it, five rushing scores Friday? I can't remember what it was. I mean, just unbelievable numbers for him.
Yeah, he's been a workhorse for us. You know, we get it down there inside of the 20, and he's got a nose for the end zone, and you know, and even when we're not inside the 20, he's got a nose for the end zone. He's broke some long ones too. So you know, he's a great running back, and you know, our offensive line's playing real well. You know, Jackson Kilgore's, you know, throwing dimes, and our receivers are all over the place. You know, just catching balls and, you know, just being great players.
Well, I mean, it's not even receivers, Coach. You let Charlie Ward go down and catch a bomb last week down in the middle of the field. Yeah. He high-pointed the football. Jack and I lost it in the booth. I didn't think it was him. I was like, who in the heck is number three? And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute, that's Charlie Ward. He went up and had a heck of a grab.
Yeah, Charlie's one of them. I told y'all at the first year, he's like my Christian McCaffrey guy. He can do a little bit of everything.
That's right.
You know, he can run the ball. He can get out there and catch it. You know, he does a lot of stuff for us. And, you know, Charlie's a really good athlete. He's got great speed, strong, you know, so we use him all over the place.
Well, I've been doing a lot of talking and hyping up and doing different interviews and things in terms of Auburn football, Auburn High football for this Friday. And everybody keeps asking, you know, what makes this team so special? What makes them so good? Why are they so dominant? And I've said it's because you guys don't turn the football over, and knock on wood, of course. But that's just something that Jackson and Omar and all those receivers, they just don't put the football in the wrong spot, Coach.
Yeah, it's been big for us this year, you know, not turning the football over. And I think we play really well as a team. You know, we have some really good players, but a lot of teams we've played have got really good players. We've played a lot of teams who have a lot more guys that have offers and, you know, big name guys. But we have guys who play together as a team, and you know, they play team football. And it's not about any one individual. They want success as a team. They don't. All the other success will come if you have that success as a team. And we preach that day in, day out. And our kids, you know, they really respond to that.
And just from my point of view in the booth calling on Friday nights, I think that's on both sides, Coach, of the football. I really do. For the defensive front and your linebackers of Gamston and Lovern, who just have such a knack to get to the football. And then even the guys in the secondary, who I thought at the beginning of the year, right, little young, possibly on the smaller side, but, man, they keep everything in front of them. They're locked down. They just don't get beat that often.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, going into the season, you know, we were young back there. I think they've got a lot of experience now. They understand the game a lot more. You know, the more experience you get, the better you're going to be. You know, you got three of those guys coming back next year. You know, so that's big. You know, at the linebacker position, Gamston and Greg Williams will be back. Lovern's our lone guy that's going to graduate. And then up front, you know, you got two or three of those guys coming back next year. Of course, we'll lose Pitts. We'll lose King. Foster's graduating. He's a guy that plays a lot, you know. So, you know, but you got CJ, you got Colin King, you got Cam Creighton, you got Wake Wages, you know, all those guys will be back next year. So it's seven or eight of those guys coming back on defense, on a defense that's playing really well right now.
Is there a particular player or position, or maybe even a handful of guys, hate to put you, I guess, on the spot, but any of those guys that you can just think off the top of your head that from game one till now have just taken a significant jump that has elevated your team's performance as a whole?
Yeah, I think all of them's improved, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, of course, our senior leadership in that secondary, you know, is definitely LaMichael Gunn, you know. I mean, he's helped lead those guys, and, you know, we got a sophomore starting back there who's playing really, really good, Tez Cook. You know, Isaac Benford's playing really good at safety. And then, you know, B.J. McGee has had a huge year for us. He leads us in interceptions, and, you know, he's had a really big year for us. So, and he's been a lockdown guy for us. So all those guys have gotten better and better over the season.
Auburn High scores a lot of points, and they don't give up a lot of points. It's typically a good recipe for success, which is why they are the number one team in the state of Alabama, ranked top 25 in the country, and they got a win over Bob Jones a week ago. They welcome in Thompson to Duck Sanford Stadium coming up tomorrow. Coach, what can you tell the fans at home about what Thompson brings down here to Auburn?
Well, they've won, I think, four of the last five or six state championships, so they're really, really good. You know, defensive line-wise, are really good. Got some good linebackers, back end, secondary, as good as I've seen. Got some really good players on that defensive side, and then offensively, the trigger puller, the Seahorn kid, is really, really good. He can put it in a cup from 50 yards. You know, I mean. The kid can really throw. The receivers are electric. They got two really good running backs. They're good up front on offense. They're a total team. You know, they've lost three games by 1 point, every one of them in overtime, which is crazy.
Isn't that wild?
So.
I mean, yeah,
against find a way to put some points on the board.
Yeah, against Grayson, which is a team out of Georgia, against Clay Chalkville, which is a huge team up in the Birmingham metro area, and then Hoover, 27-26 in overtime, which, of course, Opelika plays at Hoover coming up tomorrow. We'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is a Thompson squad that, yeah, you look at the record, 8-3. Okay, that's pretty solid, but I was talking with you earlier today. They're 3 points away from being in the same spot you guys are.
Oh, absolutely. And very easily could be there, you know. Two of them missed extra point because of a penalty after a big score. They got a 15-yard penalty after the score, which backed them up, and then they missed the extra point. Another one was a blocked extra point, a bad snap, and then, you know, another one was just another missed extra point. So, I mean, they're very close to being 11-0 right now.
Thompson beat Daphne 50-0 in the opening round of the playoffs. Auburn High School took down Bob Jones 63-27 as we talk with Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. And, man, you look around what the playoffs have to hold. I know you're focused on Thompson, but it's hard not to realize the other games going on, right? You've got Baker and Enterprise on our side of the bracket. And then on the other side, Vestavia, a team that we played earlier this year, taking on Central, and then Opelika makes that trip up to Hoover.
Yeah, I mean, every one of these teams we've played in the last 2 years except for Thompson. You know, Thompson, we played them 2 years ago in the state championship game, but last year and this year we played Hoover, we played Baker, we played Vestavia, you know, and of course all the other teams in our region. So, I mean, it's sort of weird that, you know, I feel like the eight best teams are still in it. You know, I think that, you know, Hewitt had a really good game with Baker and come up on the short end. I think they could have very easily been in, you know, and playing Enterprise in that second round. But, you know, I think there's eight really good teams in the state, you know, and, you know, I think that are eight really good teams left in the state in 7A. And anytime you get to these quarterfinals, you know, it's you know, going to be brutal. You know, all the teams are good that are left. There's not going to be any, you know, slackers left.
Yeah, and what I'm about to say is no slight to teams like Opelika or Central or Enterprise, but a lot of people would make the argument, Coach, that Thompson is the most talented team you've played so far, and you're going to have to go up against that. But the good news is you get it at home inside of historic Duck Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, it is good to get to play at home, get to play in front of the home crowd, and, you know, get to bring a big game like this, you know, to the Auburn community and get to play it with a chance to go to the semifinals and play to go to the state championship. So, you know, the stakes couldn't be much higher, and, you know, it's going to be a great night tomorrow night, and, you know, we're looking forward to all the fans being there and, you know, wearing their blue and white.
Auburn and Thompson happening in the state quarterfinals. A trip to the semis on the line inside of historic Duck Sanford Stadium. Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, he's with me every Thursday. Coach, let's not make this the last one, huh? Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Boy, I hope so. That'd be nice. I'd like to do about three more of these.
I'd love to, man. Would absolutely love to. Well, hey, good luck tomorrow night. I know I'll be seeing you between now and then, but everybody's rooting for you on it, and we're cheering for you, and we hope that everything goes well. So good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you, Jacob. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's head coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School Football. You can catch the radio broadcast going on tomorrow night. That's on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app, as we will be on the air pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the Auburn High Sports Network. Always enjoy talking with head coach Keith Etheridge, man. He's just so much fun to cover. I say this every week, man, and I say it because I believe it, and I say it because I mean it. Coach Etheridge is up there for one of the best coaches that I've ever got to cover, and I've only been on it for less than a season now, and he's so genuine and pure and just open with his time and wants to help us and what we do and wants the coverage for his guys, and man, we just really, really do appreciate Coach Etheridge joining us each and every week here on the broadcast. We do social media things. I mean, he is awesome, and we are really looking forward to tomorrow night. Auburn High School football and Thompson State quarterfinals. Join us on the air, won't you? Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 tomorrow night on Wings 94.3. We'll take a break. Come back. We got a segment coming up where you can be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? This is your time to get in. If you have a phone call, text message, whatever it is, Auburn basketball, Auburn football recruiting, we'll cover both of those things when we come back right here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. And we've got Lynn. You're on the line. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I never thought that I would hear you utter this word on a sports show. I think you did it earlier this morning on another microphone. But I'll reacquaint it to people who don't know.
Okay.
Corruption.
Oh.
Because of the recent high school coaching thing that...
Ah, yes. I think I was talking with Doug. I think that was in the conversation about transfer portal stuff in college athletics.
I know we're seeing that, but do you think that we'll will be seeing this, what I like to call a trade in a bad guy for, you know, something, or are we coming? Maybe I'm lost in asking this question, but are we going to get people that are bad? I mean, hopefully we're not, but I'm just concerned because of our situation in football.
Yeah, I mean,
we have not been able to get good people for whatever reason.
Sure, sure. So I guess where you're coming from is, are you concerned if Auburn is going to get, if Auburn in particular is going to get in trouble, or if they're going to hire bad people that could get them in trouble? Is that what you're asking?
People who are going to get them in trouble, and recruiting people who will be a problem.
Oh, okay, I got you. You know, it's hard to answer that question, and I hope not. Right, that's the answer. The easy answer is I hope not. I hope that Auburn is able to, and hopefully they already have people in the building who are doing things the right way and doing it clean. And from what I've heard, I think that's taking place. I can't speak on it 100% because I don't know. But for Auburn football, I would like to think that that's happening, and hopefully across the board for Auburn athletics, that it's as clean as possible. And then, yeah, recruiting people, players and young men and women who are not issues and not problems on and off the field or on and off the court. And so I would like to think that that's going to happen, but not everybody's perfect. And let's be real, Lynn, sometimes you misjudge somebody.
Yeah, and it always seems to me like I look, never mind us, all right? Not that us is not included. I'm not going to be that naive, but or dumb, but I've it seems around the country, it's like, whenever I watch people do good, I'm like, we couldn't get these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we couldn't get the scary running back, the scary speed demon quarterback. I mean, we couldn't get, maybe there are reasons for that. And,
sure.
And I'm trying to I'm trying to strike a balance between an understanding between who, what people we can get and what people we cannot get, because it seems to me how I've looked across the country, it's, wait, we're not, we here in Auburn can't get these people?
Right. Right. No, I totally understand your concern, and Lynn, we really do appreciate the call. I want to address that because I get where he's coming from, right? You look at it, you look at what Auburn has and what Auburn is and what Auburn has the potential to do, and you do sometimes sit and say to yourself, you're telling me Auburn can't get this type of quarterback, or they can't get, like he said, that big time, you know, aggressive, scary looking running back that's going to be the next great one in the SEC and playing on Sundays. Like, you sit back and you ask yourself, how can Auburn not get these guys? But look at what Auburn's doing in recruiting right now. Auburn flipped another guy today. Auburn flipped a corner today from Southern California, a four-star in the 2025 class. I mean, Auburn, in terms of recruiting, I think they're doing it right. I think they are being very successful. I think they are building up and rebuilding what was torn down and absolutely buried in the ground from the past two regimes. And so I don't think Auburn has a talent problem. Are they at the likes of Georgia and even Alabama right now, or Ohio State, who's at the top? No. But Auburn's not spending $20 million on a roster like Ohio State is. And Auburn hasn't won a handful of national championships in the recent years like Georgia has. And Auburn didn't have a legendary coach running the show for 15 years like Alabama had. And so Auburn's having to combat all of that. And they're not to the likes of those programs. But let's be honest here. Auburn football does not have a talent problem. At certain positions, sure. Quarterback? Yeah, absolutely. The most important position? Yeah, that's not good. But you have the best running back in the SEC. You have your greatest wide receiver class that's ever walked through the door. It's on campus right now, and Auburn feels pretty good that they're going to be able to keep them around. You've got dudes on the defensive side where more freshmen are playing more minutes than anywhere else in college football. And so I get where Lynn's coming from, right? Because recruiting has been bad for a while. And I think you could even dip into the transfer portal with that conversation too, where it's like, man, how come Auburn couldn't get a Quinshon Judkins in the portal, right? Who goes from Ole Miss to Ohio State. Things like that. And I totally understand. And from the, I don't know, I hope I'm understanding what he was asking correctly here. I guess the cheating standpoint, or the dirty standpoint, or the corruption is the word that he referenced that I used earlier today. That's out there. That's just a fact. It's out there. College sports are dirty. They've been dirty. And I don't know if I'm comfortable saying they've gotten dirtier, but I think NIL has made it a lot murkier, if that's not a synonym, I guess. Right, I always reference back to, gosh, when I was growing up, man, college basketball was so bad. I mean, it was not, I'm not talking the production on the floor and the talent that was out there, man. College basketball was a lot of fun to watch, but late 90s, early 2000s, into the 2010s, man, it was rough. I mean, it was as dirty as it could possibly get. Then the FBI got involved and tried to clean it up. Not saying it's perfect now, but I think it's better. And college football has started to see some cracks in the foundation with NIL and transfer portal. How many times, Doug and I were talking about this earlier, right? How many times do you see a player who enters the transfer portal and they commit somewhere within 12 hours. Or as I said on the show, on his show, they enter the portal with a do not contact clause. What the heck does that mean? You go into the portal, but you don't want anybody to talk to you, and then all of a sudden you commit somewhere. Make that make sense. And then you've seen all these issues with NIL and how players are promised X amount, but they only got paid this amount, and now they're suing, and they're leaving, and they're demanding. You're seeing players walk into the coach's office, the head coach's office, and demand more money, or they're going to walk out the door. And as time goes on, more situations will come up with investigations, whether they're internal or external, that finds out so-and-so earned X amount of dollars on the side that wasn't reported, that wasn't legal, right? You saw that for years in college football, in college basketball. And so, overall, yes, there is corruption. There are snakes in the water. And I just hope that there is somebody out there. It's not the NCAA, so don't bank on them. I hope there's somebody out there that's able to stop it, or at least slow it down. You're always going to have cheaters. You're always going to have people that are trying to get ahead by breaking the rules. That's just how the society rolls. But you got to find a way to clean that up. Unless you want to lose the sport, man, you got to find a way to clean that up. Let's read a text message really quick. 334-784-1067, the on-the-line text box, says, what offensive coordinator calls a trick play for Malcolm Simmons to throw the ball 40 yards downfield with gloves on? How is it Jarquez bust a big run, then you throw the ball three times? Take a sack, two incompletions, and a punt. What are the coaches thinking? Have not addressed that on today's show in particular, but Uncle T-Bone and I have hit on that a ton on Mondays and Fridays when he's in here. I'll be sure to bring that text back up tomorrow. I know he's got a bunch to say about that. But that's the head-scratching thing. Those are the head-scratching situations for Auburn University football that make us want to pull our hair out and scream and just, like, shake Hugh Freeze and Derek Nix and say, what the heck are you doing, right? Those are the things that have us saying, wait, this was the offensive mastermind that we hired? This was the guy we brought to the Plains to revitalize and revive the Auburn offense? And you're calling things like that? I'm with you, man. T-Bone says all the time, Auburn's running an offense that was ran 13, 14 years ago. I'm starting to believe him. And plays like that that you brought up, yeah, you're spot on, my man. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, he joins us coming up next.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz with you here on the Auburn Opelika sports leader, and we get back to the phone lines. Another great guest who's with us every single Thursday at this time. He is the host of the daily Southeastern Conference podcast called Locked On SEC. Chris Gordy joining us on the phone lines. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Jacob? Good to be on, man.
Always a pleasure to have you on. And look, I know you don't want to talk basketball because it's still football season or whatever, but Auburn came to Houston and took care of business. I just had to throw that out there.
No, they really did. And what's crazy is, you know, one of our hosts, he's a big Houston Cougar alum, and, you know, he was sending me all the texts of all the stuff that was going on with the plane fight and all this, and he was completely prepared. He's like, oh, we're going to do a bit on Monday on my show of, you know, we're going to have somebody call in as the pilot, and we're going to rip on Auburn and all this kind of stuff. And when Auburn won, all that kind of went out the window. So, I don't know, maybe incentive here to have more fights on planes, I guess?
Sure, yeah, why not? I mean, just getting fights every time, I guess. And look, Auburn basketball has pushed into it 100%. I mean, they're doing plane celebrations on dunks and winning games. I mean, it's been incredible to watch. And so, now, I had to throw that out there. I know you're over in that area, and I wish I could have gone now because that was a road game. I talked to Dylan Cardwell, who's on the team for Auburn basketball. He said, yeah, it was a straight-up road game for the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the city of Houston's really come around. I mean, since Kelvin Sampson's been coaching here, I mean, they've invested a lot of money in NIL, and, I mean, they've had Final Four runs and all this. And, I mean, it's been incredible what he's built here. But, yeah, I think the reality of the story is those are two really – I mean, Auburn's awesome and Houston's awesome. And I think, you know, a very early precursor to a matchup we could see down the road, you know, in the NCAA tournament.
Well, let's flip over to football since, again, not in this town really, but other SEC fan bases are still watching college football and celebrating their teams doing well. And don't want to harp on it too long because we do have games coming up this weekend. But, man, two of the biggest games of the year in terms of playoff implications, Ole Miss beats down Georgia, and LSU just couldn't keep up with Alabama, Chris.
Yeah, what's funny is I think I saw on your show last week, I said one of those upsets is going to happen. Either Ole Miss is going to beat Georgia or LSU's going to beat Alabama. I would have probably put my money on the other way, but it just felt like one of those was going to happen. And lo and behold, Ole Miss ends up beating Georgia and Oxford, and what a win for Lane Kiffin. He's finally got his signature win. I know we've waited all these years on, you know, all right, good coach, but what's his signature win? He finally got one over a top 10 opponent. And so, you know, this kind of propels them forward. Ole Miss still has a chance at the playoff with winning out. Georgia almost has a must win, really has a must win against Tennessee this weekend. And, you know, I've been shocked at that line. It's been sitting at about 10.5 all week. I think, you know, a lot of that has to do with the availability of Nico Iamaleava for Tennessee. But, yeah, to see LSU get demolished in the fashion that they did, I don't think Alabama is, 30 points better than LSU. I think if they play that game again, it's a lot closer. It was just one of those games where everything started to unravel and everything that could go wrong for LSU went wrong. I mean, it was raining. It was supposed to be rain in the forecast, but it felt like it was a slight drizzle every time Alabama had the ball, and it felt like it was a downpour when LSU had the football. I know that, you know, sometimes the weather gods are not kind to you, but when you combine it to the fact that LSU can't really run the football,
true,
and they're a pass-first team, and Auburn or Alabama is a team that, you know, with – Jalen Milroe was like, well, we can just tuck it and run it with him again. It was really advantage Alabama. And you know, I thought the turning point was about 3.5 minutes to go to before half. LSU's defense finally gets a stop on a fourth down. They stop Alabama, who goes for it on a 4th and 1. They get the ball back, and it's a 14-6 game. And you're thinking, man, this is a perfect one-for-one scenario here. If LSU can go score before halftime, they can, you know, tie it up if they decide to go for two or at least be down one. And then they were going to get the ball coming out of half. And what they do is immediately, right up the A-gap, the center doesn't block a defender for Bama. Gets to Nussmeier, he fumbles, and it's back to Alabama ball. Two plays later, they score. It's 21-6. And it was kind of all she wrote. I mean, it really felt like that was the turning point. And LSU puts together a drive, goes down and scores. You know, you make it a 14-13 game. You get the ball coming out of half. And LSU did get the ball and go right down the field out of halftime, except they threw a red zone interception. And so, yeah, it was one of those games that I think Brian Kelly wants to burn the tape on. But, you know, I've seen a lot of overreaction from folks this week on, oh, you know, is Brian Kelly the right fit at LSU? Is he, you know, should he be fired and all this kind of stuff? I'm like, guys, he's 26-10 in three seasons at LSU. If he wins out, he'll be 29-10. I mean, look at every other coach in the SEC. Outside of Kirby Smart, you know, and really Nick Saban, who's done better? I mean, probably Josh Heupel and, you know, Steve Sarkisian are probably right there in that category in terms of record. So I think that's where Brian Kelly kind of belongs, probably in that second tier of coaches. We'll see what Kalen DeBoer is with more of a sample size. But, you know, Brian Kelly's still a better coach right now than I put him ahead of Shane Beamer, you know, Hugh Freeze, Sam Pittman. I mean, go down the list of all the SEC coaches. Brent Venables, over 75% of the rest of the SEC would take Brian Kelly right now as their head coach. So as down as LSU is on them, you know, there's still a really weird scenario. We were running through the numbers yesterday.
Yes.
There could be a tiebreaker that LSU only has two losses in the conference, that if we wind up with a bevy of SEC teams all with two losses, LSU would actually win the fourth tiebreaker because, you know, you can't go head-to-head because everybody else has a head-to-head over each other, you know. So the fourth tiebreaker would be conference record, you know, percentage of conference wins. And LSU has a stronger strength of conference wins than that of Texas, that of, you know, almost all the rest of the SEC. So it would be really crazy if that were to happen. But there is a scenario right now where we could get an LSU-Alabama rematch in the SEC championship game.
Can we not? Can we not do that? That's fine with everybody in the Plains. I mean, I'm glad you bring all that up about Brian Kelly, because that's where I was heading. You mentioned it, 26-10 during his time there in Baton Rouge, and you mentioned it as well, where there's a weird scenario where LSU is technically still alive in a college football playoff. But come on, Chris, Ed Orgeron won a national championship. Brian Kelly can do it too, right?
Well, that's the pressure on him. I mean, the narrative in Baton Rouge has been, and look, they're pretty realistic in Baton Rouge, right? I mean, the Nutsos in Tuscaloosa think that they should be going undefeated and winning championships every year. At LSU, they just want to be relevant and compete for a championship once every 4 years. I think that's realistic. I think Auburn should have those standards. For a while there, I think it was their standard, and Brian Harsin and all that happened. But I think for Brian Kelly, next year's a hugely important year for him, because you look at it and go, that's going to be year four. The previous three head coaches by year four had all won national championships. Nick Saban did it, Les Miles did it, and Ed Orgeron did it. If Brian Kelly's the first LSU coach to not win a championship in his first 4 years, that's quite a distinction. I mean, especially considering Les Miles and Ed Orgeron did it. So, next year's going to be a big year for him. And look, it might work out, right? Garrett Nussmeier, at least all the draft stock that I saw he had a couple weeks ago, come crashing back down. I think there's a world where next year LSU brings back Garrett Nussmeier, brings back Mason Taylor, the tight end. I think there's a world where Harold Perkins comes back after he only played a couple games this year. LSU could be locked and loaded, and you're looking at, you know, road trips to Ole Miss and Alabama will be tough, but you get A&M at home. You know, you do have a road trip to Clemson early, but to me, that's huge pressure on Brian Kelly next year. He has got to, at minimum, make the college football playoff next year.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, joining us on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn, Opelika. I'm not gonna make you try to explain what the heck the College Football Playoff Committee did on Tuesday and what the SEC has and what they don't and who could get in and who could not be in, because it's a disaster right now. But you look at the games this weekend that'll impact that. I think South Carolina, Missouri impacts that, and obviously Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, coming down the home stretch here, Chris, there's some big, big games in the SEC.
Yeah, there is. And obviously that Tennessee-Georgia game this weekend is the biggest, but yeah, I was shocked. I mean, the Big Ten's getting all the love right now. I still think it's weird that they put Oregon, Ohio State 1 and 2, and it's like I just saw that game a couple weeks ago. There was a winner and there was a loser, and yet they're not dinging the loser at all.
Right?
You know, it's like the Ohio State, and then because you have Ohio State up so high, 10 states lost to them, they get a pass.
So stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, they're like, oh well, Penn State only lost to Ohio State, so they're fourth. And so it's like, it's that stupid thing. And honestly, it's almost like a big, it's what people complain about in years past about the SEC bias. The committee's doing right now with the Big Ten bias. And having Ward Manuel on that selection committee, I mean, nobody can tell me that there's not bias from
there it is.
Some of these current ADs and former ADs. I mean, they're going to have their inherent bias. But if I'm Greg Sankey, if the SEC only gets three teams into the playoffs, I mean, I'm raising hell and thinking about taking my ball and going home and saying, look, if you guys aren't going to respect our conference, I mean, for goodness gracious, putting Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia, what, 11, 12, and 13? Absolute insanity that those teams aren't ranked higher right now. You know, Tennessee, I could say the same thing for. And then to put Texas, what are they, fourth? Like, have Texas, or third, as high as they are, who's Texas beating? And to me, I was tweeting about this yesterday. The selection committee's first question that they should ask, when we use the word resume, is who have you beaten? It's a very simple question. Who have you beaten? It's not, are you undefeated? I mean, obviously that helps, but, you know, Stuart Mandel had a whole piece on this, The Athletic, yesterday, like basically saying, we've had this 80-year model of, well, if you go undefeated, you get in. And he's like, we need to wipe our memories of that and say, good wins trump good losses, in my opinion. If you played five top 25 teams and you go 3-2 in that stretch, you lose two on the road, but you win three others, to me that trumps say, in Indiana, who has played zero top 25 teams.
Yeah.
They're going to play Ohio State next week. They're probably going to lose that one. And they're going to finish 11-1. And Indiana's going to get a punch their ticket in, but I'm going to look and go, who have they beat?
With a strength of schedule that's like 100th, Chris.
Oh, my God. I mean, you've played Northwestern and Maryland and Rutgers. They're like every crappy Big Ten school you can come up with. And I think Texas, the same thing is happening with Texas right now.
Their
Texas
best win is Vanderbilt. Their best win's
exactly.
Vandy.
And that's my biggest problem is Georgia's got arguably two of the best wins in the country. They beat Texas in Austin by double digits, by 15. And they beat Clemson on a neutral field. They beat the crap out of them. Wasn't even close. Yes, they lost on the road at Alabama. And yes, they lost on the road at Ole Miss. You don't get a pass to those two losses. But you also need to be rewarded for your two monster wins. Because basically what you're telling me is if they hadn't played those games, it wouldn't matter. All we're looking at is zero or one. That's all that matters. If you have zero losses or one loss. And to me, I'm like, all right, well, then why schedule anybody tough? Just schedule a bunch of slappies, run off a 12-0 schedule because they're saying that's all that matters. However, this year ago held them against Florida State, and we lost. But to me, that's what's insane is we're just looking at a world right now where they're rewarding mediocrity and. You know, if you lose two games, it's like, oh, we got to ding you and knock you way down. It's like, I don't think that has to happen. We don't do it in the NCAA tournament, right?
No. No. And you can't tell me either because there were a lot of people in the SEC and especially in Knoxville who were confused on why they just all of a sudden got jumped by Indiana and BYU. And Chris, you can't tell me that it's not because of the questionable, the game time decision of Nico. I mean, they take that into consideration. You mentioned Florida State. That's what they did a year ago.
Yeah, and a lot of the Tennessee riders were calling out this week, and good on them. But, I mean, the flip side of it, too, is Tennessee's ranked 7th. If Georgia wins this game, and they should, handily, that's a third top 25 win Georgia will have on the resume. Again, like, they deserve credit for that. It's like a taking losses. Who's got a good loss and who's got a bad loss? It's like, no, start with wins. Who's got good wins? Then we'll look at losses and compare losses. But, like, to me, it's just like, God, some of these teams just completely get in the past. I mean, Penn State played one good team, Ohio State, and they lost to them. Everybody else, like, who else have you beaten? Like, you got to give credit to teams that have beaten other good teams.
What a world we live in. There's a negative SEC bias. First time in a long time, Chris, I think is where I stand on that. And you're right. We're rewarding not playing tough schedules. And we said it earlier in the week. I mean, it encourages, as you've mentioned, it encourages just to play simple teams and simple games and not worry about it. And so
it's what I just said, too, with the basketball thing. At the end of the year, when they look at the Houston Cougars schedule, they're going to go, well, look, they had a really good early season loss to Auburn. You know, same thing for Duke. I think they're going to go, well, Duke lost, you know, that early season game to Kentucky. Those are good losses in basketball. And I get it, you play way more games. But, like, the selection committee actually discusses that at the end of the year. They go, well, that was a good loss. Like, they don't do that in the football committee. They go, well, you lost the game, so we got to move you down 10 spots. Like, come on.
But Chris, I'll say this. I'm not a believer in good losses. I think a loss is a loss. Now, I understand if it's on the road, top 10, top 15, sure. But a loss is a loss in my book because a win means a whole lot more.
It is. But, again, that's why we call it a resume. A resume is everything good and everything bad you've done. But
yeah, that's fair.
To me, like I said, you got to start with the first one. How many good wins do you have? And if you – you know, like Missouri, I was asking a Missouri fan the other day, I said, what's your best win? He's like, Vanderbilt, maybe? I'm like, that's not good enough. You can't put a question mark at the end of your best resume answer.
Yeah, the SEC, I mean, it's so funny, and I know we got to let you go, but it's so funny because at the beginning of this year, with so many good teams in the expanded playoff, we were saying, oh, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? We're counting like LeBron James going to the Miami Heat. Like, how many teams can we get in? And now we're stressing because it may only be 2 or 3. I mean, what a wild world this has turned into.
Well, and it's just one of those years where everybody's, you know, we said it a couple weeks ago, anybody in the SEC can beat anybody this year. We're seeing that come to fruition. And, you know, it used to be easy for Georgia or Alabama. Hey, just go 12-0 and you're in and you're the best team. And it's like, this year, no. I mean, 10-2 is the new 12-0, and it's like if you just get to 10-2, you could probably punch your ticket. But my goodness, the Big Ten, and this is the inequities of the schedules. I mean, you don't play everybody. Somebody from Texas told me Monday, I thought you guys said the SEC was tough. I said, dude, you just played a Florida team with a Yale quarterback. Like, stop telling me that that's not an SEC team you just played. Yet, you know, it's like if you played the Oklahoma schedule, Texas, you'd have at least 3 losses right now.
Hey, don't disrespect Yale. They have good athletes there, Chris. They play really good sports. They do. They play.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I heard Hugh Freeze is looking for his next quarterback through the Yale transfer
portal. Hey, man, whatever replaces what we've got right now, we'll take anything. If you've got somebody, send them our way. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, a daily Southeastern Conference podcast on YouTube and your audio platforms. Tell them again how they can find it and what you got coming up.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts. We've got our squad show dropping in about 10 minutes, our roundtable discussion with all our other hosts in the SEC. And then tomorrow morning, our weekly visit with our buddy Chris Marler, previewing the whole weekend of games. And we pose the question, how worried should Auburn be when it comes to Louisiana Monroe? This could be a tough one this weekend.
Stop. You're putting bad juju in the air. I can tell what you're doing. I'm not fooled.
Yeah, Jacob, it's the same week they lost to New Mexico State a year ago.
Can we get this guy off the phone? We got to go. We got to get to a break. No, Chris, always appreciate it, man. I know. Look, hey, job calls, man. You do what you got to do. And hey, Auburn fans will come find that podcast. You know they will.
Well, come find us, and maybe y'all can find another SEC team to root for.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Appreciate your time, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jacob.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go check it out, even though he's going to tell you that Auburn's losing to ULM. Go check it out anyway. I'm kidding. He just gives us a hard time, only because we bring it on ourselves. And so he does a fantastic job. That guy has been with me for a long, long time here on the show, so always appreciate him and his time. Let's get to our final break. We'll wrap it all up on the other side here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Oh my goodness, what a crazy show that it's been today. A lot of fun, great, great content today. There's no possible way to have taken all of that in and not miss something. So, good news is, you can catch the show anytime, anywhere, any place on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You'll catch it live there every single day, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. But then you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. So be sure you do that. You definitely want to go back if you missed anything from today. We started the show with Auburn soccer coach Karen Hoppe, who joined us on the program as Auburn women's soccer gets ready to host the first round of the NCAA tournament tomorrow against FIU. That is at the Auburn Soccer Complex. So we had her join the show today. We also had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We had Coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football join the show. Brad and I talked a lot of basketball, a little bit of football for this weekend against ULM. Coach Etheridge and I, we talked about Bob Jones last week as the Tigers win in round one, and Post Thompson now in round two of the playoffs. That's coming up tomorrow night. We'll plug all of that and some more on the show tomorrow. And then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Went long with Chris, which is why music's about to kick me out of here, and we're about to get out for the drive to step into the studio. Chris and I had a lot of fun talking SEC football and what the heck is going to happen in the college football playoffs and a whole lot more. Hey, want to remind you, hour number two of the show, it's been brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. Be sure you check them out at theorthoclinic.com, they're East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. We're back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin, full house talking Auburn football, basketball, high school football, you name it, we'll have it. Free-for-all Friday edition of the show coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.